Enoch took the stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said he'll never forsake you is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, so now I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said I'll never forsake you is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trim and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles is numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring. Her national I've long betrothed. Today she is calling, her letter is falling. Return, O dispersed to your home.
The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. The church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying.
That God is the Christ is our God.
Though this generation puts God's revelation, will walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. God's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation serves God's revelation, will walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's eyes are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Everything is happening just like it says here. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. Her national life long dethroned. And you can see, if you open your eyes and look around you, that Israel is going, is being restored. People are coming from all over the world, and they're slowly going back to Israel. And that's what the fight is over there. They're fighting for the devil. He's trying to stop God's program from going ahead. That's why he's got that ring of fire, these demonic countries, Iran, the biggest, most anti-God system, religion there is. But God is going to get the job done. They're just going to disintegrate into nothing. They're fixing to have a civil war there. They're rising up. Because they're not of God, you know. False prophets are lying. The world is full of false prophets. They just turn on a YouTube and one day they say this, and now they say there's a rapture coming, but nobody knows that when. Not even I know. But I know we're in the restoration of Israel, and then within that, it's going to happen within that 7-year period. And it's just going to do just scripture. Eh? So, my hope is in the Lord from this time on and nevermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I will sing His praise again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I will sing His praise again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I will sing the power in the name of Jesus.
We got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
I guess we'll continue where we left off yesterday. What was that text we were reading?
God will famish the gods.
About the famish the gods enough year to discontinue because there's so much in that. And it's so hard to convince people what, you know, when they hear us, to chill out because it's a brand new, something that they have not been taught. It's something that, it's so potent that they, there's only very, a small handful that's able to accept what we have to say here, but it's 100% the truth. Because we didn't get it from him. We got it through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. You will not find nobody out there that actually tells you about Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. The Branhamite, they'll tell you about Brother Branham, but they're not going to tell you about Brother Jackson. So, all in all, it's a very hard sell, and I would get very discouraged. But the Lord let me know before I began putting on this journey, that's really only one person that's going to get what we're trying to say here. And it's pretty, of the billions of people in this world, of only one is going to hear what we're saying here. It's pretty, if the Lord had given me that, I'd be very discouraged. But he just tells us to put it out there, and it's available, you know.
Right.
It's available for everybody.
And like the gods of this world have really done a number of people.
Yeah.
They've really done a number because people are so caught up in their religious structure that they can't see what God's doing.
And when you think we're trying to take their idol away from them, really what it is, God is damaging the gods of this world. And they feel threatened, you know. They feel threatened when we say the things we say, especially over that Hutterite nation, because they very solid, very secure in their ideology, this community living and all that stuff. And they got their servants that'll back them up. Little do they know that these servants are not beneficial for the hour of time we're living in. So I can understand, and then that it's a pretty hard sell, and that people won't believe it. Then they listen in, and once or twice, and then we say things that they don't. That's not readily accepted.
And then they have a fear tactic. If you do something, say something, they will say to you, "Oh, du bist kaknoden mafin." You're not going to find any more grace if you say anything about that Hutterite religion.
You got people convinced to list as the highly God, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost when you talk bad about their diabolical satanic system. But we went into scripture and we know exactly where that thing is coming from. And I seen it in the spirit. It's nothing but the cage and the hole of every foul and hateful bird. It has evolved into a synagogue of Satan, and that's just the bare naked truth. But see, we're called out to expose that thing, and we're doing gladly this. So actually, don't expect too many followers, because, you know, every time we have somebody, we associate with somebody, they think they got a license to smear us. So that's why we don't get too close to too many people. But we want to just kind of show you where we're coming from, and what put us on this court, and how come the Lord found us faithful out of, I don't know, 8 billion people, that he found you and I faithful to deliver that meat in due season and to say the things we're saying. So we just want to make sure we want to go back how all this came to be. And anyway, that's the script. The text we have is God is going to famish the religions of this world. We've been reading it over and over that God will famish the gods of this world. But it's really now it has evolved in the religion is a god. It's a spirit driven by these demonic spirits, these false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time, Lord, just to look into your word, just to continue on the things we've been talking about, Lord, to expose the unfruitful works of the heart, is to expose that religious system, because we know we're living now in the hour and time where all of this is going on the way out, and they have only got a few more years before it's completely disintegrated into nothing, because it never was nothing. Anything after the devil is just a farce. It's not for real. Because we're here just, Lord, trying to expose that thing for what it really is, for what all it's ever been, Lord. And we just pray for grace to be able to see the things you put on our heart, to be able to express what we see. Because we know, we see it in your word. And we just pray, Lord, you'll gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And like when you step back, you know, that God has called you and I to more, do the most for the hour of time we're living in. He's given us the responsibility of the most highest calling that a human being can be given here in this closing days of time, that we have an unadulterated truth by the scriptures that we can tell to the people. And what got me on this course, it was not handed to me on a silver platter. And I just want to go back before I could begin to do what I'm doing. There was a time prior to the Lord put me on a journey. I think it might have lasted for about a year. I felt such a gratitude towards the Lord for everything He's done for me in life. He allowed me to do a work, have a job. I was electrician in that commune, and I can't really say anything negative about me being growing up there, because I didn't know any different. I just, that's where the Lord had me, and I was one day just dawned on me how grateful, how good the Lord has been to me. He gave me a perfect family. I was living in a place where everything is taken care of you. I mean, it's real, when you look at it, and a natural, it's really a natural utopia. Spiritually speaking, not. But I'm just telling you what happened to me back prior to being terminated and excommunicated from that system. I had such a, you know, you get up in the morning and your breakfast is made, and you come home at night and your water is there. All you got to do is step in the shower and the water is hot and running and soft and everything is there. Your bed is made. I mean, it's literally speaking about such a luxury you have in these communes. But I'm not talking about the spiritual aspect. I'm just talking about the natural. And it just overcame it. It's for about a year, and I felt being grateful is so inadequate. It's not even touching the surface for what the Lord has done to me, because I was just overcome with a sense of gratitude. To the point where it just dawned on me, you know, the Lord has done so much for me. What can I do for Him? It just seemed like very shallow, just saying, thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. And so, and as this thing went on, it picked up momentum. I just felt the need. You know, the Lord has been so good to me. I felt like, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. Do with me as you see fit, because you've done so much for me. That was my motivating factor. And little did I know what He's going to turn into. I just said, Lord, here I am. Use me. Do with me whatever you want. Do with me whatever you wish. All this transpired maybe in a year or two. And finally the day came. I just couldn't live anymore with myself. I just felt the need to get to know this great God and the scripture that always came over that I might know Him. I did not know this God the way I wanted to know Him, because there's the scripture that came to me day in and day out. Oh, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and all these scriptures. I had a longing to know this great God, because I read some books. I read Catherine Mars' book, Beyond Ourselves, and I realized there's a world out there that I am not in connect, and then I'm not connecting with. And then I remember I couldn't sleep at night anymore. I was so desperate for this God, to know this great God, and see the things that's in the scripture, which I knew I didn't have. And then I remember all night I was in prayer, and 5 o'clock in the morning, and I told you this before, but I'm trying to get to the point where you wonder, why did the Lord call us to do this work? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It was It was the series and what got me on it. I was so grateful to the Lord that what he's done for me, that I said, Lord, here I am. Use me for your honor and for your glory. Do with me as you see fit. And I completely surrendered to him. And then, like I say, all night I was in prayer because I knew there was something out there, a world that I knew absolutely nothing of, and it stuck in that scripture, oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. And they're suffering. On that journey, there is going to be suffering. And like I say, 5 o'clock in the morning, he just came in the room and, okay, we heard you. Okay, I got some work for you to do. You're going to have to go up and speak for me to these Hutterite preachers, and I'll set it up for you, but here's what they're going to do to you. If you do what I tell you, you're the first thing they do. They're going to take your family, your children, your job, and you become a vagabond overnight. Well, I was so hungry for God, for this world out there, that heavenly world, that heavenly realm that I knew I was not part of, but I had a longing and a yearning for it. And here the Lord shows up and, okay, I'll take you into that chamber. And that's when it started. I began to speak up against the corruption of that system. And before, this carried on for 2 or 3 years. And, but at the end of the day, I knew they're going to do exactly what the Lord told me. They'll come into your home and they're going to take everything away from you. They'll take your family. They'll take your wife. They'll take your children. They'll take everything away from you. And the day they happened to be my father, my father-in-law, these religious leaders, these uncircumcised Philistines. I hate to say that, but that's exactly what I was running up against. And I didn't know that at the time. But as time went on, that happened exactly what the Lord told me he's going to do. And one evening, my father-in-law, they were over there just about every day to interrogate me, to try to make me to back off, you know, to apologize for telling them the truth. And my father-in-law, he was that J.K.'s number one guy when he came to, I call him the hatchet man. And when there's some work to be done, he sent him into it. So anyway, he came over one evening and he said, as of tomorrow morning, if you do not recant, I'll be here tomorrow morning and you're completely disconnected. You don't have a wife. You don't have any children. You don't have a job. You don't even have a name. You're just a number. Well, I just simply told him, you're going to do whatever the Lord allows you to do. If you're going to do it, it'll be for my benefit. And that's exactly what happened. The next morning, he came over and he called the whole church together. And there was it. Got him to sign the paper, signed me out of there. And then I put me on this journey. And it's been a 35-year journey. And then that journey, I really got to know this great God. And then all that inspired, all that happened in these 35 years of the journey, I found out a lot that I didn't know. I saw myself running down in a deep valley. I don't know whether it was a vision or just something that I saw in the spirit. And down in that deep valley down there, everything was green and lush. Like that song says, I just come into a valley that I've never been before. Padlocks on the door. There was no escape route. I couldn't go back because if I go back, everything never said would be obsolete. When the Lord put me on this journey, the only way back is to compromise and to go to these tugs and apologize for them rocking their boat, if you know what I'm trying to say, for making them and for telling them how corrupt they are. And see, once you said it, you cannot go back and compromise. To this day, they wait for me to go back and apologize, like I was telling you last year when I was so sick unto that. They come in here, the devil never gives up. Thinking, I'm going to go back after 30 years of fighting for something I believe in, for something that's of the Lord. Thinking, I'll go back into that cesspool of religion and apologize to them for telling the truth. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, that's what we had to go through to get to the place where we are today, that the Lord would entrust us and give us this assignment. The only two people on planet Earth that He has given the revelation of where we are in time. You can go out there, you can listen to these donkeys speaking on YouTube. They are clueless what they're talking about because they don't have scripture to back up what they're saying. See, you and I, we have the scripture and we have to back up exactly where we are in time. The Lord, the great eternal spirit, He found us worthy to deliver that meat in due season, and then He gave us this assignment, and He told you right in your spirit, the reason He put us together is to preserve this fruit that has been given to the church age of Laodicea. And we're the only two people that He has found faithful and true to deliver that meat in due season. Mm-hmm. Then He told us to put up a lighthouse, and all these things, we're not making this up, we're not some fly by night. We had to go through that Hutterite torture chamber. Everything that they did could do, they did to me, and mm-hmm. they could have killed me. They would have killed me in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, I had this desire to get to know God. See, in it all is that the fellowship of His suffering. A lot of people, they want to know God, but they don't want to pay the price that you have to walk through in order for God to reveal Himself to you. And God requires a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's why, above anything, I wanted to get to know God. Mm-hmm. And He saw my desire for me to get to know. And that was all a journey of mm-hmm. Getting to know who God is. That's what it's all about. Above anything in life, that is what I desired and wanted and longed for, is to get to know Him. And that was all part of the process of Him revealing Himself.
Amen to that. And I was always wondering what Genesis 6, I kept reading Genesis 6, and there are some things that I didn't understand. And Genesis 6, what caused God to bring that flood? There's got to be a central focal point that would cause God to destroy all these people. And I was in Genesis 6, Reverend a day, and then one day when the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Brennan, I read it. And the sons of God, I always wondered what the sons of God were. Were they those Neanderthal men? Are they angels? Or who were the sons of God? And one day after I come to the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Brennan, he said it, it's the sons of Seth, they're the sons of God, and you go back and you read the genealogy. That's why everything that we say here, you can trace it back to the scripture. When I tell you the sons of God I didn't know who they were until I heard Brother Brennan, the sons of Seth. Then I opened my Bible and I went to the genealogy, and it goes right back to Adam, was the son of Adam. And who was the Son of God? The sons of Seth were simply the sons of God, and they were starting to have relationships with sexual relations with the daughters of men, which are the daughters of Cain. And then I saw exactly what happened in the garden. I saw exactly what happened in Genesis from chapter 1 to Genesis 6. Satan has infiltrated the human race, and he got it through. Through that serpent guy. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I saw the scripture and I saw exactly what happened from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6, that God would destroy that human race and just start it again with Noah. It's all about sex. It's all about perversion of sex, perverting that reproductive program that God gave to Adam and Eve when He said, be fruitful and multiply, but do it out of the tree of life. When Eve comes around to her cycle, just have a relationship with Eve and do it out of the tree of life. And if they would have obeyed that, they would have done that, every human being that was born into the human family would have had eternal life. But see, Satan came in and he used that serpent-like creature who was not a serpent. He was not a reptile. He was a serpent. Doing the chores, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then, you see, I did not know that before, but all of a sudden, I began to see it, and it all happened back then when I went to the Lord, and I was up on my knees all night long, just wanting to know that new world out there, that world I knew is out there, spiritual world, that I completely was clueless of. But first of all, I had to give up my life. I had to be willing to lay down my life and to find out what is out there in that heavenly realm. And I had to enter into that heavenly realm. And like we've been saying things over and over, and as time went on, you know, we had to separate ourselves from all these churches out there, from all these tubs. And when we left Faith Assembly, the Lord started up a work over grace and truth. I was there for about 3 years. And then the Lord took me out of there because I could see how this thing began to infiltrate grace and truth that I could not be part of. That I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like when you look back at Adam and Eve, how they were deceived by that serpent, by Satan. That's the same way here with all these religions out there. They're out there to deceive. And the devil has managed through a religion to deceive a lot of people. And that's why you can't speak to people about the ways of God and the truths of His Word. They'll just focus on their little religious circle beliefs. But mm-hmm. they will never venture out and talk on the things of God in His Word. But when you do, they get a little vicious because you can see behind it there's a spirit driving it.
Yeah.
And when you're not in agreement with them, you see they're getting vicious about it.
Yeah, and then they call us, we're full of hate because we don't fall for that smooth talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be completely honest. Like I was thinking about that yesterday when the reason people don't get it, because there's a certain amount of jealousy there, and then the Holy Spirit cannot work if there's jealousy in the camp. And then there's that competitive spirit, and people just have not completely surrendered everything to the Lord, and if they haven't surrendered everything to the Lord, the devil can use them and feed them all kinds of false information about it. That's what happens when the people that we associate with, all of a sudden, after a while, they think they got a license to do exactly what, go out there and slander us, because it's a spirit of Satan that causes them to do that, and they, all of a sudden they turn against us because it's in the air. It's a universal demonic kind of something like law and the spirit of on the side of Satan, and that's why they pick up all these different voices out there. If you go on YouTube, oh, the rapture will happen in September and then all that stuff. But you know that the air is charged up with exactly what that song says: false prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ our God. And these things are out in the atmosphere. And if you're not completely sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to feed up that true serpent of all these false prophets are lying. Yeah, like because there is charge stuff. Where do these people get all that information from? They get it from Satan, because Satan knows exactly how to feed them, and that's where they pick it up from. They won't pick it up if they're really sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and they have that ambition, oh, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection. And if they're not willing to lose their life for His sake and the gospel, well, then they will pick up that part of Satan that's out of the air. It's just like sometimes there's a fog, and you're in that midst, you're in that fog. You can hardly see. That's exactly how the air in the spirit world is charged up with deception, with these false prophets that are lying to people. And we just happen to be found faithful and true to hold the line on the truth, to hold the line on the things that we have been given through this ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jacks. Man, they preach your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
I just love to listen to them and hear them preach because they had that gift. Brother Jackson had that gift to go back in history and to tell us exactly what happened in the prehistoric, back in when Satan was tested. And he tells us how these mountains came to be and these canyons and everything everything that we know, everything that we say here, we got it through the understanding of these two great anointings that came in the church age of leaders. And I keep saying, anything outside of these two ministers and the church age of leaders here, especially since the 50s and 60s, when he preached the seal, everything outside of that channel, it's going to take you out to hell of that. And I know we have a very hard lesson to teach to people, and they can't accept it because they've been brainwashed. They've been taught in these and these colonies and these preachers and these synagogues of Satan that is not so. And they, each one of them, the Swaggerts and the Oral Roberts and the Minihans, they each go out and sell their own wares. But at the end of the day, there is only one message to preach, and the church here to live is it. God did send a prophet, Malachi 4. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And that's why we, for 35 years, we've been telling people that. And
that's right.
That's all we can do.
And the evidence and the proof is there that that was that prophet, because when you will go over all those preachers that were in the era of Brother Branham, none of them had a message to bring. Like Brother Branham, that was that voice that that angel used. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. And you can see that the only ministry that mystery was opened up was through the ministry of Brother Branham. And that was that voice, voice that it speaks of in Revelation chapter 10. He was that.
It was the vocal cord of that seven church age message. And that's why we all keep going when Jesus was here. You got to go back and you got to revaluate and you got to bring everything out of Scripture, what we're saying. And when Jesus was here, he said, "This is eternal life, that they believe on him whom God had said." And he was referring to himself. But then just before, you can go back and read it in John, I think it's 15 or somewhere, where Jesus said, "This is going to be eternal life," because he knew he was going to go to Calvary. He knew it's time to go up to Calvary to get butchered and slaughtered and get crucified, because he told his disciples, "I must needs go up and be crucified from the, be put to death from the Pharisees, from the religious leaders." They're still here today. That's where it's all these preachers out there. Call themselves preachers. But see, we go back just before Jesus went to the cross. He told his disciples, "This is going to be eternal life." That day, the people that are going to come for the next 2,000 years, that they believe on them whom I will send. And apparently, we have to go to Revelation chapter 1 to find out who he said. And then John saw that vision where he turned around and he heard somebody behind him. And he looked around and there was Jesus standing with seven stars. And he goes on to explain what these seven stars are. See, we're not doing anything outside of the Word of God. We've been led and guided. That's why God gave us this tremendous responsibility to tell a lost and dying world where we are at time, what's been going on in the church age, let's say, for the last 100 years. And we're telling it the way we have heard it, the way we have seen it, because it's the only thing that'll last. And like I say, the days of when he said to them, "This is going to be eternal life, that they believe on him whom I will send." Like I say, he sent these seven church age messengers. And now here at the last one, but in the days of the voice, because he knew these voices, these Irene, these Apostle Paul, these Brother Brennan, these Brother Jackson, they're only going to say what that angel tells them to say. And that's exactly what happened. That angel came down. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, to give to the angel, to give to Brother Branham, to give to Brother Jackson. That's exactly Scripture. And they are now the voice of that angel. That's it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we're in the church age of Laodicea. We're in the seventh church age. We're in the seventh. The end of it is the seventh, because there's only seven church ages, and now here we've come to the end of it, when we only got three more years left. According to the Scripture, according to at midnight there was a cry, and it happened in 1963, February 28th, when that great cloud that was up in Arizona desert dried up above the space. And he can go back, like we keep saying. You can go, just punch in Mystery Cloud 1963. And there's going to be Life Magazine, a picture of that Mystery Cloud that was up there exactly the time when that when those seven angels came down and opened up the seven seals. That's that midnight cry that happened February 28, 1963. And we know through the ministry of these two great anointings that Church Chamber of Latter-day Saints began in 1963. Mm-hmm. You can do the rest. You can follow us through with the scripture. And we have been found faithful and true to tell it to the people. Because God has found you and I faithful and true to tell it, to tell the masses. Mm-hmm. We're not responsible for what they do with it.
Like, the truth is never popular. And when you go back to the Garden of Eden, when men fell, and then God went over the penalty of the woman and the man and the serpent, and he said, I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that enmity throughout time. The truth is never popular.
Uh-huh.
Like, Brother Brenham was not popular in his era. Like, he was popular because of the healing, but it would, they came down to the word. There you could see enmity between the seed of God and the what the devil's doing. And that's why you can still, I thought everybody should be lined up to hear Brother Jackson speaking. Uh-huh. But it was not the case. See, that was that enmity still playing out, that enmity between the seed of God, the child of God, and what Satan is up to.
Actually, when it comes down to it, it's just a fight between the devil and Jesus.
That's
what it boils down to. That's why we have this thing in the world today. Now you see things rising up. You see Trump, and then you see the Democrats. It's all just a power of Satan. Satan controls the Democrats. They're sold out to do evil. And here God is raising up Donald Trump to bring in justice and righteousness. And as these things evolve, you will see, as these things come to fruition, you're going to see the separation of the sheep and the goats. And the people that are on Trump's side, that are on the side of trust, of justice and truth and faithfulness, they will be those sheep people that will go slip over on into millennium. And actually, people will barely notice it's happening, but that's exactly what people are determining right now. Where are they going to spend eternity? And all you got to do is just got to side with evil, and then you're going into the lake of fire, and then here you decide to do what's right, and you support justice, you support Israel, pray for the Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you do that, when that time will come, you'll be glad you're on Israel's side, because you will have just escaped that lake of fire simply by supporting what's right and true and just. And it's today, people are being separated, and they don't even know that that's going on right in front of their very eyes. And we're the only two people that to tell, because if you don't know the day and hour you're living in, then you cannot tell these things about the what's transpiring out there. Just within 3 years' time, you're going to see something developing on planet Earth where these people, these goats and these sheep, are being separated. It takes 45 days right after the Satan gets bound. Then there's a period of time there where 30 days is the day of the Lord, and then it's 45 days where God separates the sheep and the goats, and everything goes to culmination. And after that is over, then we go over on into the millennium. Those that will be a found faith. Because, see, you and I, we're the only two people that has the program, simply because, like, I go back, oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the Lord heard my cry, and he has this job for me to do, and he opened up that heavenly realm, that heavenly world, that I completely clued on that it was even out there. And here I'm crying out to the Lord, and I finally opened up, and he led me, and he guided me to the denominationalism, and he guided me right up into the Vancouver, where Brother Brennan was being preached, and he just opened it up, And then he took me down to Faith Assembly, and I sat there for 10 years under the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, and that was all a teaching process. I was going to school. He was educating you and I for doing exactly what we're doing today. That's why we can truly say, this is that. This is the truth for the hour and time we're living in. And then when we tell people that these churches are just synagogues of Satan, they're just a religious system driven by Satan, behind it is the spirit of Satan, because it has evolved into exactly what the book of Revelation says, come out of her, my people, or you're going to partake of her sin and receive her plague. Because it also says that she has evolved into a cage and the hole of every foul and hateful bird, and that's exactly what these churches have become. Pedophilia. And there's lots that finally is coming out of what these preachers are all about. You get caught up in raping young boys and girls and children. What do you think all these children are going to do? A lot of these churches are involved in that illegal immigration. They can have all these children they can rape. A lot of it is coming out from these churches because they rejected the prophet back in the 60s, and now they are the result. They are the reason that America is the way it is today, because that's what happened when they rejected the prophet. And that's what's happened to this day. If you reject what we're trying to tell you, you're going to end up in the same place, because judgment is looming on the horizon, and it's just about ready to bust over. That's why we're saying what we're saying, because God is already beginning to expose that man of sin and all that filth that's out there. He exposes, and he's taking the covers off, and he's famishing this religion. And once you famish these religion, it'll be exposed.
That's right.
That simple. And the process has been going on for three and a half years. Now we're in the last leg of the journey. There's only 2 years left. And you can take it to the bank. We're not making things up. We're all, everything that we say and do is interconnected on that vine that Jesus said back in John, that if you're not connected to the vine, you're going to be tied into bundle, and you'll be taken out and burned. And we're still connected to that vine. We're still doing what God wants us to do. He's still using us for His glory. And simply because back in the day, there was a world out there where I was completely closing up. And the Lord gave me grace to enter into that world. And here we are today, given the responsibility to be faithful and true, found to be faithful and true, to deliver that meat in due season, and to roll out this living water where tops of water come and drink out of the waters of life. You'll find it right here on this website. There's nothing else outside of that. You can go look. You could go see if you can find anything. You won't find it, because there's nothing out there. It's all been infiltrated by Satan, by these false prophets are lying. All these things are coming to fruition. Just that simple. You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we come before you, give you thanks for what you've allowed us to see in the hour we're living in, to open up our understanding to your ways and just get to know you, the fellowship of your suffering, that it's all part of a sacrifice, Lord, that you require in order for us to get to know you. And we were able to receive your word for the hour, Lord, and that's what's so important, to know the day and hour we're living in, because when we see that, we see how you're working, and we know that it's all going to lead into the millennium, where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas, Lord, and that's what it's all heading for, that people will get to know who you are and want to serve a living God, and it's all going to happen in the millennium age for that redemption process, that whole restitution of all things, Lord. You're going to bring it to a place where you will once again one day tabernacle with man. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.